Latin America. So I think that might be also in play as the you see the imbalance in coverage of what's happening in Venezuela and this.
This is Jim Colby from Vox Urbana, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Hey, all you faithful WGXC listeners. This is Cowboy Kurt with Ghosty Girl.
Hey.
Don't forget to listen to the Coyote Ghost Radio Show, the second and fourth Monday of each month, from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m.
Got some good music coming up.
We play Americana, roots rock, alt country, iconic rock, and sometimes go into the ditch and play crazy stuff. So turn up your radio and sit back and listen.
I like trains. I like fast trains. I like trains that call out through the rain.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
All together now.
See the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information on anything you hear on all.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, June the 11th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Soybean farmers keeping a cautious eye on prices following the weekend's heated G7 summit. Also on the Monday rundown, primary elections tomorrow in some states will test ranked voting, and conservation groups fear a zinky shakeup of public lands management. Topping our news, President Trump arrived on Air Force One at a Singapore air base for what's being billed as an historic summit on Sundays. CNN reports North Korea's Kim Jong-un arrived several hours before Trump at a Singapore commercial airport. Trump, asked by reporters as he arrived in Singapore how he feels about the summit, said very good before climbing into his limo. CNN notes the U.S. president flew to Singapore from Canada, where he participated in an especially contentious G7 summit that came after he triggered a trade dispute with several of the U.S. closest allies. At the same time, the price Iowa farmers are getting for soybeans is 50 to 70 cents better than this time last year, but Ross Brown reports whether that will continue may depend on the outcome of those trade talks between America and its closest allies.
President Donald Trump delivered a threat to trade partners meeting in Canada over the weekend, saying they must dramatically reduce trade barriers or risk losing all access to the U.S. economy. Iowa State University economist Chad Hart says until the recent trade dispute, it looked like Iowa farmers were on course to benefit from a seventh year of record exports.
Corn had had the second best export year it had ever had. Ethanol just had a record export year. But I think U.S. Ag is sitting here going, we could have more if we can calm this trade situation down.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce predicted Iowa is at risk of losing 138,000 jobs related to trade with Canada and with Mexico. Mainers will use ranked choice voting in Tuesday's primary, selecting candidates in their order of preference. Linda Barr explains if a first choice can't win, the vote instantly counts toward the voter's backup choice.
Secretary of State Matt Dunlap has been visiting libraries across the state to explain how ranked choice works. On his tour in Lewiston, he said one of the most frequent questions is what to do if you don't know all the candidates. He explains it's only necessary to vote for one, and voters don't need to rank every candidate. Dunlap said votes are counted just as they've always been counted. Candidates that fail in the first round don't move on.
Just like if you voted for Wonder Woman today, and she was beat out by Hermione Granger, it works the same way. So your ballot is then exhausted after that first tabulation if Wonder Woman does not move on to the next round.
Mainers will use ranked choice voting in four races: the Democratic and Republican gubernatorial nominations, the Democratic representative in Congress from the 2nd District, and the Republican representative in the Maine legislature from House District 7.
Mainers will also have an up or down vote on whether to continue to use ranked choice voting in the state. Nevada voters also head to the polls tomorrow. Only 37% of 18 to 24-year-olds in Nevada turned out to vote in the 2016 presidential elections. Dulce Valencia, with the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, has spent time registering voters ahead of this year's elections. She says getting all demographics to come out to the polls is key to balancing out political representation.
We need to get people to vote for people who not only look like them, but aren't going to represent them in a better way. You know, we want to make sure that the government reflects the diversity that is our country, and we only get that if people go out and vote.
Primary voters in Nevada will choose candidates to face off in November in races for Senate, House, governor, and several state and local positions. The U.S. Census provides important information on communities, but it won't be counting LGBT people in 2020. Eric Tegenhoff reports that's a problem, according to a new report.
The Census Bureau will count same-sex marriages as it has in the past, but the Bureau rescinded a question that would have asked people about their sexual orientation and gender identity. Matthew Carachet, author of the Economic Opportunity Institute report, says this could have provided important information on an area with little research, the LGBT pay gap. He compares this issue to the women's pay gap, which can draw on decades of census data.
When we don't have an accurate count of LGBT people or what their situation is, we can't address the problems that face that community, and it's easy to say that problems don't exist because there's no data.
Carachet notes that data on the number of homeless transgender youth, for instance, could help direct the allocation of such resources as housing.
And finally, the federal department that controls the National Park Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and dozens of other bureaus and agencies is one step closer to a major reorganization. Catherine Davis-Young reports the moves come as some fear changes to the Interior Department would threaten public lands and wildlife.
Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke says decentralizing the department to move decision-making from Washington, D.C. to regional offices would minimize bureaucracy. He claims the current system is causing assets to be mismanaged. But Mark Salvo, with Defenders of Wildlife, says the agencies and bureaus within the department each have important roles in protecting national parks, wildlife refuges, and other public spaces.
Reorganized, as Secretary Zinke has proposed, these agencies and bureaus may fail in their missions to manage, conserve, and restore natural resources for all of us.
Last week, a longtime Yellowstone National Park superintendent said he was being forced to take a different position or retire early. The Interior Department's budget proposal now needs final approval from the full House and Senate to move forward. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.
We're in the middle of our pledge drive here at WGXC, trying to raise $25,000 over the next week or so. So don't be shy. Give us a call at 518-697-7400 and pledge your support for local hands-on community radio, for DJs like the Magic Stranger, and for all of our volunteer programmers that come here just to keep you informed of all of the important information that you need to know and all of that nonsensical music you need to hear, and local, regional, international news, opinions, right here on WGXE. That's 518-697-7400. Go online at wgxe.org/donate. And become a sustaining member. These sustaining members are very helpful. You can go on to our donate website and decide to contribute $5, $10, $20 a month. Not much to ask. Think of all those Netflix and how much you spend on coffee every month, and try to support us at $5 a month. That's helpful. Something we know we can count on. It's helpful. Get online at wgxe.org/donate and become a sustaining member. You're already a part of our WGXE family. And then you don't even have to think about calling in. You got that auto pay set up. It makes you happy, makes us happy, makes everybody on the planet happy. We're standing in the middle of a field right now. You can hear cows in the distance and crickets in the grass. That's 518-697-7400, ladies and gentlemen. 518-697-7400. Thank you for your support. Tell us. Tell us what you think of the station. What do you think of the station?
Tune in to All Together Now, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Tune in to learn more about the issues that affect communities throughout the Capital Region and the Hudson Valley, from the Catskills to the Berkshires.
Some records.
Mr. Record Man, get this record for me, won't you please?
WGXC Record Fair 2018 is coming back Sunday, September 16th at the Basilica Hudson. Vendors from across the Northeast will gather at Basilica's main hall to sell vinyl, CDs, cassette tapes, DVDs, books, musical equipment and instruments, and radio-related ephemera. If you want to get involved and sell records, CDs, or more at WGXC's Record Fair, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call 518-697-7400. That's recordfair@wgxc.org. You can also make a donation to WGXC of old records, tapes, or other media. Again, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call 518-697-7400 to help with the WGXC Record Fair.
Go and get some records.
1, 2, 3,
ah! 1, 2, 3, 4, can I have a little more? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I love you. A, B, C, D, can I bring my friend T? E, F, G, H, I, J, I love you. Sail the ship, jump the tree, skip the rope. Look at me! All together now, all together now. I take my friend to bed. Pink, brown, yellow, orange, and blue. I love you.
All together now. All together now. All together now. All together now. All together now.
Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. The website 538.com reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 88.3% of the time, the same as last week. On June 7th, Representative John Faso voted for the Spending Cuts to Expired and Unnecessary Programs Act, a Republican bill to cut $15 billion in federal spending, including from the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP. The bill passed the House with only Republican votes, 225 to 187. Otherwise, there were only a few minor votes in a slow week in Washington, D.C.
The Associated Press is reporting in the Daily Freeman that Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, does not agree with the Trump administration's latest tariffs on steel and aluminum from Europe, Mexico, and Canada. Faso called the tariffs, and I quote, short-sighted, end quote, and bad for the U.S. economy. Stocks fell about 250 points on the news of the administration heating up trade wars with friendly countries. According to the congressperson, the tariffs, and I quote, are going to hurt small manufacturers and their workers by raising cost of their goods. I've visited numerous businesses across the state's 19th congressional district that make products such as aluminum window frames, aerospace components, outdoor furniture parts, and specialty metal components. All of these businesses will be harmed by the actions taken today. This is a short-sighted action which will hurt our economy and sow chaos among our allies and American manufacturers, end quote. And you can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Carrie Miller is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Greene County Republicans held their annual picnic at Sunny Hill Resort in Greenville on June 2nd. The 26th annual Joe Garland Memorial Family Picnic Fundraiser, organized by the Greene County Republican Committee, featured speeches from GOP incumbents John Faso, William McCarthy, George Amador, Chris Teague, and Joe Stanzone, as well as Chris Gibson, who represented the 19th Congressional District from 2011 to 2017. Republican officials expressed their support for the party's gubernatorial candidate, Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro. Molinaro did not attend the picnic. In rallying the conservative support for Molinaro's campaign, Gibson said, and I quote, "There's a real sense we're moving in the right direction, but in New York State, we're being left behind," end quote. Gibson touted Molinaro's promises to limit corruption, abolish the SAFE Act gun control legislation, and to, and I quote, "stand up for our freedoms," end quote. Greene County Republican Committee members and local supporters raved about the event and the GOP candidates on the ballot. Greene County GOP Chairman Brent Bogardus said, and I quote, "It was a great crowd. This is a great campaign kickoff event in Greene County," end quote. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. Roger Hannison-Gilson reports for the Other Hudson Valley that a super PAC supporting one of the Democrats in the congressional primary is going negative on another Democrat. A political action committee representing Pat Ryan, called With Honor, Inc., has hired a company to call voters and test negative information about Antonio Delgado. Ryan's PAC is paying Global Strategies Group, LLC, $17,500 for the polling, according to the FEC filing. Kalamata Research is doing the polls for Global Strategies. So far, the seven candidates who want to challenge Representative John Faso have only been attacking the Republican. Tara Schaefer, a Rhinebeck resident, said she received a call on her landline from the push poll. The pollster called Ryan, and I quote, a decorated war hero, end quote, and I quote, the son of a school teacher, end quote. And it, she said, and I quote, shows me someone is purposefully propping up Pat Ryan and purposefully slandering Antonio Delgado, end quote. The Delgado campaign said the calls were spreading untruths. According to Delgado spokesman Brendan Welch, and I quote, Delgado was not a lobbyist and has never been a lobbyist, end quote. Don Levy, the director of the Siena College Research Institute, said, and I quote, it is a type of push poll that is relatively insidious because it masquerades as an objective poll, end quote. And you can read the full story in the Other Hudson Valley. Chris McKenna reports at the Fray that Democrat Gareth Rhodes picked up two more union endorsements this week in his attempt to win the Democratic nomination to take on Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in November. Teamsters Local 445 and Local 456 endorsed Rhodes this week, who was previously backed by the Communications Workers of America Local 1120. Brian Flynn was recently endorsed by the Transport Workers Union, the only other major union endorsement among the seven candidates running in the June 26 primary. Barry Russell, principal officer of Local 445, said in a press release of the Rhodes campaign, and I quote, Gareth's working-class upbringing here in New York 19, his hard-working farming and drilling wells, putting himself through college, record of public service, and lifelong commitment to labor unions make him the candidate that organized labor can rally behind to beat John Faso. His approach to going to all 163 towns in New York 19 shows his commitment to representing all the working people of this community that no candidate can come close to, end quote. And you can read that full story at the Fray.
On June 1st, WGXC had a live web stream of the Gun Laws, School Safety, and Mental Health panel discussion at Hudson High School that included Faso. Here is an excerpt of some of the many questions Faso answered about guns and schools during the June 1st event. You can hear the full recording online at wgxc.org in the audio archive.
The issue we have to face is what can we effectively do to deal with the question of firearm violence that exists in our country. Bill, could you move over a little bit? That's right. Just the legend. Here's the problem. New York State, for instance, banned so-called assault weapons. But if you go online, as I mentioned before, you can purchase a State Act compliant semi-automatic rifle in New York State, and it's fully legal under the State Act. You would have to, there are some 5 million AR-15s in circulation. United States of America. And semi-automatic weapons are ubiquitous. The shooter that went into Virginia Tech didn't have a rifle. He had a semi-automatic handgun. The law enforcement that are here tonight on their holsters, on their hips, is a semi-automatic handgun. And the ubiquity of the semi-automatic weapon is something that it sounds like an easy fix if we were to, quote unquote, ban it. Well, indeed, Congress did it at one time. For 12 years, there was a ban on semi-automatic so-called assault rifles. Again, not all semi-automatic rifles, but ones that fit the cosmetic description of what looked like an evil, bad weapon called an assault rifle. And during that time, the Justice Department analyzed the ban and found that it had a negligible, if any, effect upon gun violence. And at the time when the semi-automatic ban was in records in existence at the time of the ban. And it didn't ban ones already in circulation, just new ones. Now there are 5 million AR-15s alone, not to mention the others. These bans simply don't work. And from the my political opponents will say, well, they want to reenact the ban. Well, you know what? When President Obama and the Democrats controlled both houses of Congress in 2009 and 2010, they did nothing about this either because of the difficulty of actually writing a law that would actually deal with this. Well, because the semi-automatic feature is very prevalent, and I know the sheriff and the chief can confirm this. I mean, it is more of a political rhetorical exercise than actually practically dealing with this issue. That is what my fear is about, and that's why I'm focused on where can we find common ground with people on both sides of this gun debate to find areas where we can agree that will deal with the specific source of the problem, whether it's mental health, whether it's making sure our schools are safer, and I do think school resource officers are important, etc.
Final question from congressional candidate Dave Pryor.
Carry the legislation, but you will probably be happy to know that it's unlikely to pass.
Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour, broadcasting live every weekday morning at 8 here on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties.
I'm Philip Grant, one of the contributors to All Together Now. Listen to Democracy Now! In the morning and All Together Now! In the evening, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews on WGXC 90.7 FM. Listener-supported, hands-on radio.
Listen to WGXC 90.7 FM from Accra. WGXC believes in hands-on two-way radio. We provide public access to all the airwaves, giving individuals and organizations the means to tell their own stories. WGXC listeners make radio, participate in on-air conversations, record public meetings for broadcast, contribute content, host their own shows, and more. The G and the C stand for Greene and Columbia Counties, New York. WGXC is listener-supported, and we serve 78,000 potential listeners in the Upper Hudson Valley, in addition to listeners from across the globe online. Our programs can be surprising, while wholesome, are very often experimental and almost always entertaining. Program applications are accepted year-round, and no prior radio experience is required. So if anybody out there has something to offer that they really think they want to get out there, this is a place to go.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
I am Big Vern, Hud City, what's good with you? I got the boys in the house with me, and fellas, we are in the middle of the pledge drive, So don't start yet. Don't start it until I get this right, man. Let me do what I'm supposed to do here. Let's go.
Yeah. So, I mean, we usually only ask you guys for supporting and listening to our shows and the different programs that come on WGXC. But, when it's pledge drive time, we need you to kick in and support a little bit more than you normally do. So if you would like to hear us continue to be on the radio, continue to have great shows that are appearing right here on WGXC 90.7 FM, please donate. Any amount helps a lot. Doesn't matter, you're not locked into that. 518-697-7400, or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate. If you want to be gracious enough to get a tour of the studio and you want to do that in person, you can come to the Hudson Studio. It's at 369 Warren Street on the 4th Street side, Hudson, New York, 12534. Or you can even mail your donations in to WGXC in care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23, Accra, New York, 12405. Pledge, pledge, pledge. Keep us on the air. Show your love and your support.
That's Ray. You did that, dog.
Appreciate you. It's been a minute since I did that.
Yeah.
There's Henry the Hudson Whale. Each week, we tell stories about what's going on in the Hudson River to our friend Henry the Hudson Whale. His name is spelled with an I, not a Y. He's not related to that other Henry Hudson guy. The Stevens Institute reports temperatures this week in the Hudson River at Skodek Island were between 68 and 71 degrees, about the same as last week. Brian Nearing reports in the Albany Times-Union that there will be more dredging of PCBs and other industrial chemicals from the Hudson River this summer, but it is not General Electric dredging this time. Instead, PCBs will be scooped out of the river near a former Rensselaer dye factory under a $41 million cleanup project that is expected to take 3 years. The dangerous chemicals are from a former BASF, Bass, facility on Riverside Avenue. About 38,700 cubic yards of river bottom, or about 3,800 dump truck loads, are going to leave the river, according to the State Department of Environmental Conservation. BASF will first install more than 500 feet of new steel bulkhead to strengthen a seawall along the river. Then the dredging begins later this summer. PCB levels near the site reach up to 270 parts per million, while the safe standard is 1 part per million. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. Yeah, is that a hot spot you stay away from, Henry? Debbie Mayer is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Amtrak proposal to install fences and gates along its right-of-way at the Hudson River between Stuyvesant and Rhinecliff has been slowed as a result of public opposition to the project. The railroad cited safety concerns as the reason for installing the barrier, but Germantown and other communities that border the river were concerned the project would block access for recreation, fishing, and fire protection and rescue. A public comment period began in March and ended May 1st. A meeting on the issue organized by U.S. Representative John Faso took place on April 24th, with representatives of Amtrak, the State Department of State, State Department of Transportation, along with state and local officials. As a result of that meeting, Amtrak agreed to hold informational meetings with each affected municipality to explain their fencing plan in detail and to hear from various riverfront stakeholders. Those meetings have yet to be scheduled. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. The Mid-Hudson News Network reports that New York Senator Charles Schumer wants federal officials to, quote, quickly finalize, unquote, volatility standards of rail shipments of crude oil. Schumer sounded off on the issue to the Departments of Transportation and Energy after new data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration emerged about crude oil shipments. Quote, it finds that the amount of crude by rail moving throughout New York was declining, but it's now back on the rise, unquote, Schumer said. Quote, we have a bunch of accidents in the last few years. Every one of them has had Bakken crude in it, and the Federal Railroad Administration has cited high vapor pressure as one of the potential causes of these kinds of crashes, unquote. CSX route maps show crude oil shipments move from western New York through the Mohawk Valley to the Capital Region and then south along the Hudson River to refineries in New Jersey and the Philadelphia area. Currently, crude oil prices are $18.13 higher than a year ago. Read the full story at the Mid-Hudson News Network. This has been Hudson River Stories. Tune in again next week for more Tales of the Hudson River with our friend Henry the Hudson Whale.
As of today, the it's not annual. It's like biannual. WGXC Pledge Drive has begun. So if you enjoy what you hear on this station, and I mean, why wouldn't you? You get to listen to us.
Yeah, we're great. Yeah. Maybe the best show to ever exist. Howard Stern's got nothing on this show.
Okay. Then you can go ahead and make some donations to make sure that we can stay on the air bringing you quality content for as long as possible. If you want to make a donation, you can call in at 518-697-7400. If you didn't get that, you can look it up. You can make a donation online at wgxc.org/donate, or you can come right on down and give us the donation yourself.
Or if you can't do any of these things, you could still call that number and leave a friendly message.
You can.
Make it 10 minutes, please.
Do it.
Make it a 10-minute message, please.
But yeah, so if you want to come down and give us the donation face-to-face, you can do it at the place we are broadcasting from right now, which is 369 Warren Street, Hudson, New York.
You know what? The easier way to describe this is the stuff. Or the easier way to describe this is giant church on Warren Street.
Yes.
It's where underneath it. Also just dig underneath it, you'll find us.
Yes, also the only church on Warren Street.
Oh. Well, you know, big stone one.
Alternatively, you can mail in your donation to 5662 Route 23, Acre, New York.
If you want to pay for postage, that's up to you.
If you'd like to pay for postage, you can do that.
No,
but if you have a thing against paying for postage, you can make an online donation, you can call in your donation, or you can just show up. Then you can say hi.
You could donate 66 cents, and then the stamp will cover that for a whole dollar.
You can donate 69 cents, because that's the true meme.
This is that time, once again. And just like any station that relies on listener support, you know, we got to remind you that it's just about that time. So do it to create a better local community. Do it for any reason whatsoever. Even if you don't listen that much, you can donate out of the principle, you know. This is the day during we have consolidation of media is a big problem. You've got, in my opinion... And, you know, you have a lot of stations and TV stations and companies being bought up by larger companies and conglomerate. And that's it, you know. It's like you could look at a box of Ritz crackers and it's not Ritz crackers anymore or Nabisco or whatever it is. It's you know, it's probably Unilever or Mondelez or some, you know, giant, you know, mega global conglomerate corporation. So we are independent. We answer to nobody but you and your mama and your papa and your brother and your sister and your neighbors. You guys are our brothers and sisters and our mothers and fathers. And, you know, that's what we do. We don't have commercials. You know, we don't have sponsors telling us, we're going to pull our advertising if you talk about Donald Trump that way. So... That's awesome. You know, you're going to hear real opinions on this station. You're going to hear real feelings, real emotions from people who live right near you. Or if you're a visitor here, people who you might see down the street, people who you might see at the Spotty Dog or at the Carolina House or at Chatham Brewery or Crossroads Brewery or any of these places. I got breweries on my mind. Tonight I'm going to S&S Brewery in Nassau. I've never been there and I'm very excited. You know, some of these farmers are starting to turn to beer because milk, again, with companies being bought up by each other, it's not profitable for a lot of local farmers to be dairy farmers anymore. So you got people, farmers, like doing beer, and that's great. I'm really very fine with that. But anyway, there's just so much going on around here. So yeah, I've heard great things about S&S Brewery in Nassau. It's like way hard to find and tucked away, and it's like on this guy's land, and it's his own 6 generations. They own this farm and finally switched from dairy to beer. We've had a beer show on this station before from the Kenny from Crossroads. There's just so much going on. And another great feature of WGXC to just illustrate why the station is valuable and important is our community calendar of events. Our website is the best place, really, literally the best place to see what's going on in Greene and Columbia County. Don't forget that. So in addition to the, you know, just in the moment, like enjoying listening to this radio station, check out the calendar of events because there's an endless array of things that are happening around this area. So go to wavefarm.org or WGXC.org. And before or after you donate, click on calendar and you'll see so much, so much going on.
Tune in to All Together Now, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m. featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Tune in to learn more about the issues that affect communities throughout the Capital Region and the Hudson Valley, from the Catskills to the Berkshires.
Host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell of Columbia Green Media reports that there will be a little bit of Pride Parade in the Flag Day Parade in Hudson this year, and vice versa. Representatives of the city's two largest parades will be represented in each other's parades this year for the first time. The Flag Day Parade is at 2 p.m. on June the 9th, and the Pride Day Parade is June the 16th. A June 6th statement from Out Hudson read, and I quote, "In the spirit of unity, Out Hudson's Pride marches will have a contingent in the Flag Day Parade, and the Flag Day Committee will march in the Pride Parade," end quote. Out Hudson Chairman Rich Volo said in a statement, and I quote, "This is a time for unity, a time that the city of Hudson comes together. I'm happy to march in the Flag Day Parade this year with the Out Hudson banner," end quote. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. Kenneth Lovett reports for the New York Daily News that Mark Molinaro, running for New York governor, said June 7th that if elected, he'd only serve no more than two terms and wants term limits for other state officials. Molinaro, a Republican, is currently in his second term as Dutchess County Executive. He is proposing that the governor, attorney general, and state controller would be limited to no more than 2 4-year terms. Citizens would also not be allowed to vote for legislators after 6 2-year terms under Molinaro's proposal. Molinaro said, and I quote, "To show the legislature I'm serious, I will start with my own imposed term limits, with or without them," end quote. And you can read that full story in the New York Daily News. The seven Democrats in the congressional primary June 26 for New York's 19th district are now in the stunt campaign portion of the election. The Daily Freeman reports that Pat Ryan is marching from the home of President Franklin D. Roosevelt in Hyde Park to U.S. Representative John Faso's district office in Kingston Saturday, June 16th. Ryan says he's doing the march to demand action to end gun violence, but he and other candidates are attempting to stand out in the crowded field. The Times Union reported that David Clegg began a 3-day, 200-mile bike trip June 6th,
visiting a number of pollution hotspots in the district on the way. Gareth Rhodes has been at this longer, visiting all 163 towns and cities in the district before the June 26 vote. Aaron Collier, Jeff Beals, Antonio Delgado, and Brian Flynn are also running in the June 26 election, with the winner facing incumbent John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in November. Holly Miller reports for the Columbia Green Media that on May 10th, Wyndham updated their 2005 sign law and now allows sandwich board signs. Now, 25 by 45-inch signs, freestanding triangle-shaped boards are allowed within 300 feet of their building during business hours. They must go inside during snowstorms. Councilperson Ian Peters said, and I quote, "It's the culmination of more than a half year of going back and forth and getting input. We're keeping our laws modern and up to date with what's happening in the town, having government responsive laws like the ban on digital signs," end quote. Councilperson Don Murray said, and I quote, "There are 47 businesses from Route 296 to the end of South Street on Route 23 alone. If everyone decided to put out a sandwich board, that would be kind of ridiculous," end quote. Businesses must apply for special use or two-year permit for the signs. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. This has been the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For more information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org.
Consider making a donation to the WGXE Spring Pledge Drive, Summer Pledge Drive. 518-697-7400. You can't tell if it's spring or summer around here. 518-697-7400 is the number to call. Or go online to wgxc.org/donate and make a donation to keep local radio live and local.
I am Big Vern Hutt City. What's good with you? I got the boys in the house with me. And fellas, we are in the middle of the pledge drive. Mm-hmm. So don't start yet. Don't start it until I get this right, man. Let me do what I'm supposed to do here. Let's go.
So, I mean, you know, we usually only ask you guys for supporting and listening to our shows and the different programs that come on WGXC. But, you know, when it's pledge drive time, we need you to kick in and support a little bit more than you normally do. So if you would like to hear us continue to be on the radio, continue to have great shows that are appearing right here on WGXC 90.7 FM, please donate. Any amount helps a lot. Doesn't matter, you're not locked into that. 518-697-7400, or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate. If you want to be gracious enough to get a tour of the studio and you want to do that in person, you can come to the Hudson studio. It's at 369 Warren Street on the 4th Street side, Hudson, New York, 12534. Or you can even mail your donations in to WGXC in care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23, Agra, New York, 12405. Pledge, pledge, pledge. Keep us on the air. Show your love and your support.
That's Ray. You did that, dog.
Appreciate you. It's been a minute since I did that.
Yeah.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM program schedule, Monday, June 11th is day 6 of the Radio Everywhere Spring Pledge Drive, raising $25,000 to keep hands-on creative community radio alive and well on the airwaves of Greene and Columbia counties. During this pledge drive, stay tuned for a wide variety of special broadcasts from, well, everywhere. Here's a peek at our Monday programming for June 11th. At 9 a.m., Simon and Willie kick off the day with the WGXC Morning Show featuring special guest Sam Nuno. At 2 p.m., Heather Martin will be joined in the studio by artist Shell Mayer for this month's Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive broadcast of Medical Freedom. At 3:30 p.m., Amelia Mashuda, Fahim, and Emily discuss all things book-related on a special pledge drive edition of Bound by Books. At 4 p.m., Kieran Riley holds down the WGXC afternoon show with local news, interviews, events, weather updates, and more. At 7 p.m., Kurt Lehner and Abby Kors play alt-country, blues, rock and roll, and Americana with a special pledge drive edition of the Coyote Ghost radio show. And from 9:30 p.m. to midnight, Max Hamill explores instruments and the people who play them on Instrumentality. So don't turn that dial. Stay tuned to 90.7 FM or WGXC.org for these programs and more on Monday, June 11th. And thank you for making your pledge today to support WGXC Hands-On Community Radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Call 518-697-7400.
Very good. That's the number to pledge if you want to donate to the radio station.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do what? This.
What's this?
This.
Just take the microphone out?
Yes.
Are you going to sing a song Frank Sinatra style? It's just like Frank Sinatra.
My booger is bigger than the planet.
It is. Do you need a handkerchief?
Adrian, can you put that applause button on again?
I need...
He wants some applause.
Give him
applause. He needs the applause. Which one do you want?
The black one.
The black one?
Is there...
No, I want the other black one. No, I want the other black one. Give him this black one.
You want the horses?
Stop that! Right this instant before I turn the world around.
You're going to turn the world around? You can use a radio to turn the world around?
This
that one's not working? Maybe some of the batteries are... people have pressed the button so often.
Turn it off, Rick, and instant before I yell at you. You click it. Do that click up.
Please excuse my brother for being really, really weird.
What?
What? How did he get... Is he weird like this all the time or just on the radio?
I don't know.
What's this location?
We're at the Wave Farm.
We are at the Wave Farm.
Whoops. There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events. Monday, June 11th, the Albany County Legislature has a meeting at 6:30 p.m. at the Albany County Courthouse, and Albany County does a live web stream of their meetings at the Albany County website. Greenville has a Board of Education meeting Monday, June 11th at 7 p.m. at the Greenville High School. And Greenville does not broadcast its Board of Education meetings. But you can. If you have a phone in your pocket and you're going to a local meeting, take it out. You can easily make a recording or use the Wave Farm app, the WGXC app that's free in the App Store, to do a live web stream. Email info at wgxc.org to find out how. Monday, June 11th, the Voodoo Orchestra is at Clubhouse Sinky in Hudson. That's Bobby Previtt's troupe doing the Miles Davis Bitches Brew record. Monday, June 11th, at Clubhouse Sinky in Hudson. The Greenville Zoning Board meets 7 p.m. Tuesday, June 12th. That's the same night that the Elgar Variations Tour arrives at Bard College at Simon's Rock in Great Barrington.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Hey,
is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Agra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org.